The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
Father, we just come before you, Lord, to study your word, Lord God, this morning. We ask, Father, that you would use me, Lord God, as an instrument, Lord God, to teach your word in such simplicity that each and every one of us here this morning would be able to understand. Help us, Lord, to all each to love your word, to love you, Lord God, for who you are to us. We thank you, Lord, and I ask especially, Father, that you would open up each and everyone's heart this morning, Lord God, to receive the truth of your word. May we not be hearers of your word, but help us to be doers of your word, that in all things, Lord God, that we would glorify you in everything that we do and in everything that we say. So we bless you, Lord, this morning, and as you be with us, Lord, as we come to study your word, to be under the authority of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, and we will be reading from verses 6 and 7. Again, it's Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Nathan, can I have the PowerPoint up, please? Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and I'm going to read to you from the NIV version. It says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Now, I've entitled this message, Life in Christ. As we are in the third week of 2014, I really wanted to share a message with you this morning that would help encourage you, that would help to build you up during this new year. And I hope the message this morning will shed in some light on how to faithfully live out our Christian life as instructed from this passage that we just read. And, you know, as I was preparing the message during this week, it was kind of like preaching to my own heart because, you know, at times I need to remind myself, you know, that the life that I live is no longer my own life, but the life that I live belongs to the Lord. And so every decision that I make, everything that I do should be in honor of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so as we consider these things together, you know, my prayer is that each and every one of us here this morning would be encouraged, not to be disheartened, but to be encouraged as we continue to live our life for the Lord. And I also pray that, you know, we're not just hearers of God's word, but to be doers of God's word, according to James chapter 1, that we need to put our faith into action. Now, all of us here are quite familiar, next visual please, with the life of the Apostle Paul. Can I have the next visual, Nathan? Who under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, wrote many letters in the New Testament, you know, to a number of churches, such as the church in Colossae, such as the church in Galatia, in Philippi, in Ephesus, in Corinth. And most of the time when he's writing these letters to these churches, you could either see that he's either rebuking the church or he's correcting the church. And quite often he would remind them how those who actually came to faith in Christ, how they ought to live their life. One example that is found, and Uncle Roger was just sharing this a moment ago in Galatians 2:20, he reminded, you know, the Christians, you know, in the churches that he's founded and the churches that he's helped, throughout his missionary journey. He reminded them of one thing, and to be that by using himself as the example. And he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ chose the Apostle Paul being the instrument by which the gospel would be proclaimed unto the Gentile nations, we see that throughout his missionary journey, the Apostle Paul devoted his life to the work of the gospel. And he could confidently say that the life that he has is no longer his, but it belongs to Christ. And it was done out of his love for Jesus Christ. And he understood that. He understood that perfectly because he understood what Jesus Christ had done for him, as well as for us who come to faith in Christ, what Christ did on that cross. And by understanding and believing in God's only way of salvation through Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul devoted his entire life to the missionary work of the gospel. And we also see that in the life of the early church, beginning in the records of the book of Acts, when the church was birthed, that those who actually came to Jesus Christ no longer lived for themselves, but they lived for the sake of the gospel. And you remember the stories that when the possessions that they all had, they didn't keep it to themselves, but they sold it. They sold it in order to provide for the work of the gospel, providing for those who were also in need. And that's what their life was about. It was about Jesus Christ devoting everything that they had for the gospel, as well as for their love for the saints. And by understanding that, you know, we ought to live our lives by looking at the examples that has been set forth in the pages of Scripture. But if we were to, think deeply, and if we were to meditate on these things, you know, during the next following weeks, could we confidently say that 2013 was a year that we devoted ourselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Could we confidently say that the life that we now live belongs to Christ? Can we confidently and boldly claim this? That's something that that I want you to consider this morning, because remember, the Apostle Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live now, I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, we live in an age where, well, we're kind of like bombarded with so many distractions in life. You know, from family life to work life, you know, trying to pay off, you know, a mortgage. You know, even at times trying to fit in our social life, you know, to be connected with friends so that we don't feel so isolated. We have so many distractions in life, and we tend to lose focus. You know, and life, you know, you could say that life seems to be pretty tough. And if you are a Christian, well, you know, really, you know, God, you know, you'd want to put God aside because of your busy schedule. I mean, if we were to be just honest, right? I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. You know, do we put God first in most things in our life? You know, frankly, I would have to say that not at all times that I've done that. And you know, I feel really, really guilty about that. And there's one thing in feeling guilty and acting upon that guilt, and it's a separate thing to feel guilty and not do anything about that. You know, so we ought to examine our own life and see, whether we have been living our life for Christ. Because I know that at times it can be difficult to be living as a Christian, because at times you think, well, you know, God says you can't do that and you can't do this. And, you know, at times we think that God is kind of like a cosmic killjoy. You know, I mean, the Christian life just seems so dull and so dead. And, you know, but in reality, if you were to look at what life is meant to be like in Christ, it should be a light that should be shining brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, but at times there is this kind of attitude that is in us, and we think, you know, rather than letting God be the driving force in our life, we want to be the driving force of our own life. You know, at times when God is calling us, we say, well, you know, no, not this time, God, you know. I just want to have it my time, you know, just for a moment, you know, Lord, I just want to have it my time, you know, and put God on the side. And then as the years go by, you know, our Christian life remains the same. There's nothing changed about our Christian life. And, you know, year by year, it's the same thing. You know, I've been diagnosed at the age of 15, I was diagnosed with a condition or a muscle degenerative condition. It's called spinal muscular atrophy. And to be honest with you, you know, life for me hasn't been easy. You know, if anything, life for me has been difficult, having to cope with just, you know, physical disabilities, you know. And could you imagine, you know, just having the bulk of your voluntary muscles just weakened as time progresses? You know, and at times, you know, for me, life can you know, be really, really, really tough. And at times, you know, it can get to a point where it's quite frustrating because, you know, you're so limited in what you can do. You know, but I still have God to thank for that I'm still standing here this morning, that I'm still be able to just stand here and share with you the Word of God, and it is only by God's grace. But, you know, but as I get older, the conditions worsen, and you know, just over the last 15 years that I've been to see my specialist doctor, you know, year after year, our conversations has been the same. The physical examinations has been the same. And, you know, the questions that are put forth to me, as well as the questions that I put forth back to my specialist, you know, it's still the same. And you know, year after year, nothing's changed, and there really isn't anything new for me as a patient of what's called spinal muscular atrophy. And it was only last Tuesday that I went to see my specialist again, and again, everything is still the same. And you know, that's what I want you to think with me this morning. You know, is your spiritual life the same? You know, just as I was diagnosed with this condition and everything, year by year is the same, if not worse, is it the same thing with our spiritual life? Year after year, is our spiritual life the same thing? Or is our spiritual life declining? Are we getting worse in our spiritual life? And that's what I want you to consider with me this morning. You know, is our life the same as it is? Or what should we expect as Christians? What should we expect in our spiritual life? And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Because if year after year your spiritual life remains like that, it's not okay. That's number one. And it's not normal. And that's number two. And so if you are like that, well, then I hope that, you know, the text that is before us here this morning would help to encourage you to be built up as you live your life for Christ. But one thing that you know, and this is something that you could ask yourselves, you know, year after year, is there any desire to love God? Is there any desire to read the Word of God? Is there any desire to share the Word of God? Are there any desires to even have fellowship with God as well as with those who are in Christ? Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me, because I'm not judging anyone here this morning. Again, it felt like I was preaching to my own heart, and it is something that I need to examine myself, because, you know, to be honest with you, at times that's how I feel like. At times I feel like there is no desire to read the Word of God. At times there's no desire to even want to fellowship with God. And, you know, and when you get to that point, salvation can become questionable. It can become questionable, and you have to honestly ask yourself that question. Are there any godly desires in your life as well as in my life? You know, and we ought to examine ourselves. And as Uncle Raj again was saying, you know, that we ought to examine ourselves, you know, even when we come to the Lord's table, that we ought to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith or not. And, you know, I know that, well, why do I even say that? Because I know that if I'm feeling like this, at times, well, then, and no doubt, then most of us here probably go through that same struggle as well. And I think it's a good thing that we need to remind ourselves who we are in Jesus Christ. But what I really want to do this morning, again, is just You know, just to go through the basics of Christian living according to this text. And by understanding simple truths from God's word, I pray that 2014 will be a brand new start for each and every one of us. Going back to our text in the Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul says, and I'll read it again, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." And so before we can even consider knowing what it means to walk in Christ, we need to first and foremost understand what it means to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what we need to understand first. And this is where, at times, where the rubber meets the road. Because there is a huge difference in just knowing and believing. There's a huge difference. And a lot of Christians are actually on this platform of just knowing and not really moving on to the next platform of believing. And that's why we really need to kind of get off that platform. Because when you believe, you will act upon that belief. Amen? And being on this platform of even just knowing isn't going to change anything in our life when we don't believe it and when we don't apply it to our own life. Because if you look at a lot of common problems and struggles in life, it is only the result of unbelief. If you look at or remember some of the TV commercials that is on the TV about smoking, about drinking and driving, about gambling. See, a lot of problems that happen is because of unbelief. If you look at smoking, smoking, there's enough evidence to show that smoking can damage your lungs. You know, and people don't want to believe that until the damage is completely done. And by the time that happened, it's already too late. And the same thing with drinking and driving, people know that it's dangerous to be driving while you're drinking because it can affect your perception. But people choose not to believe that. But when an accident happens, at times it could cost them their own life, as well as costing the innocent lives of those people that are sharing the same road as we are sharing. And people know these things, even with gambling. We know that gambling can ruin your life. Gambling can be an addiction. And it's enough to ruin your life, our life, and our family's life. But people don't want to believe that because people believe that they are in control when, in fact, they're not in control once you are addicted. You remember the events that happened during our Lord's ministry on earth. A lot of people saw his miracles and his wonders. A lot of people applauded Jesus Christ for his work. For his miraculous works as the healings, the casting out of demons, the feeding of, the large crowd, even raising people from the dead. People saw these things, they've seen these things. But what does Jesus say to them? What do you think he says? Listen to what he says in Matthew 23, verse 37. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." So there is that unwillingness to believe in who Jesus Christ is. And that's what the Apostle Paul wants to remind us. In order for us to continue to walk in Jesus Christ, to be rooted and built up in him, and in particular to be established in the faith, we need to be reminded of our pledge to Jesus Christ as the Lord. Because it's, again, as I said, it's no good in just knowing who Jesus is from what we read from the Bible if we don't believe that. Real faith, as James says, is connected. Real faith is connected with actions and with knowing as well as believing. And so at times I think we need to, remind ourselves, well, who's really living our Christian life? Is it us or is it God? Every decision that you make, is God directing those decisions and those steps, or are you taking those necessary what's best? So who's really living your Christian life? And that's what the Apostle Paul says. As you receive Christ the Lord, he's reminding us what it really and what it truly means to make Christ as Lord. And it is to believe in Christ. It is to pledge our allegiance to Christ. Because when we say that Jesus Christ is Lord, are we necessarily meaning that? Are we truly meaning that Jesus is Lord? You know, I'm saying that, you know, we're willing to do whatever God says for us to do. I mean, how many times have, you know, all of us here, when God says go left, you go right? How many times when he says, no, don't do this, and you end up doing it only to regret it? You know, and then you kind of like think to yourself, oh, if only, you know, if only I had listened to the Lord, you know. I mean, we've all been down that road, and so we need to be reminded, well, who's the boss? Who's the boss in our life? You know, my kids at home, you know, when mommy says, don't do this, don't do that, they, you know what they said to their mom? They said, you're not the boss, daddy's the boss. So, but you know, in life, that's what we need to ask ourselves, who's boss? It's God or is it us? And that's what we need to consider. And so believing in Jesus Christ, we need to believe that, you know, in him who he said he is, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believing that he is the second person of the Trinity, that he's both equal to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Believing in Jesus that, you know, he came to this earth, that was born of a Virgin Mary, that he lived a sinless and perfect life, that Christ was obedient to God the Father in order to offer up his life as an acceptable offering on our behalf. Believing that Jesus Christ was crucified and that he died on the cross for the punishments of our sins, and that the forgiveness of our sins is received through faith, through believing in Jesus Christ, believing in his perfect and his righteous life, believing that 3 days later that God raised Jesus back to life. And because he was raised back to life, we receive life in his name. Jesus said that because I live, you shall also live. And that's what we are called to believe. To deny to any of these teachings is to reject the authority and the finality of God's word. To reject these teachings is to reject God's only way of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so we, you know, we need to ask ourselves, do we believe in Jesus? Do we believe in what the scripture teaches about Jesus? Because if we believe, we're going to act upon that belief. And then, you know, our trust that, you know, these foundations has been set here at Springville South Church of Christ. But if you're here today and you're not a Christian and you're not sure how you, whether you should believe or not, ask God. Ask God to give you the faith to believe. But quite often when, there seems to be confusion as to how a Christian should live their life, a lot of times when people, you know, wholeheartedly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of people are quite, you know, are left there wondering, well, what's next? Is just coming to church just a regular thing? Is that all? Is that the Christian life? Is that it? You know, and a lot of people are confused about what it really means to be a Christian. And you know, I've seen a number of churches who are quite happy, you know, to have people fill in the empty pews. But very few churches are ready to make real disciples for Jesus Christ. Few churches are really getting onto that platform of acting upon what they believe as a church. And so I certainly hope that, you know, that Springville South Church of Christ is ready to make real disciples. As I shared earlier on, that, you know, it can only be spiritually beneficial for you when you are in a discipleship group, when you are ready to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ. But when the Apostle Paul says to continue to walk in him, to be rooted and to be built up in him, it means that, you know, there must be evidence of a vital component that helps the Christian to live his life in a continual walking with Jesus Christ. And these components, you know, help to build up the Christian faith and to live a life that is to be Christ-centered. And quite often when you look at so-called Christians, when people begin to name the name of Christ, their life turns out to be completely different. I mean, the outside world is, you know, going to think that we're no different in the way that we live compared to them. And so, you know, we really need to have a close watch on our own Christian walk. You know, but I'm not talking about a perfect Christian life. But what I'm talking about is a type of difference in people that they're going to see in the way that we live, the way that we talk, the way that we think, and the way that we act. Because a lot of times the world is going to watch the church. The church is not the building. The church is us. They're going to watch us and examine us, how we live our life. Because one true thing that Jesus said is that if you are the salt of the earth, But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a table. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that others who may see your good deed may give glorify your Father who is in heaven. So in order for us to continue to live our life in Christ, and to be that salt and to be that light of this world, there are, that I believe, six essential biblical components or biblical truths that make up the Christian life. And as there's one pastor who once put it, you know, that if you do lose your saltiness, essentially you are no good even in the manure pile. Manure is bad enough as it is, but even adding salt isn't going to change anything to that. Can I have an extra visual, please, Nathan? Now, these are six biblical truths. I'm just going to run through them roughly. Next visual. Are seen in the navigator's wheel. And, you know, why a navigator's wheel, you might be thinking, you know, why not something else? Can I ask who's heard of the navigator's wheel before? One? That's good. No, anybody else? No? Well, you're probably thinking, why a wheel? You know, it's not because I couldn't think of anything else. And why a navigator's wheel? Because I believe that the navigator's wheel, you know, represents the Christian life. You know, how we're going to walk our Christian life really depends on how we understand the scriptures and what God calls us, how we should walk. And I'm going to ask Pastor Glenn to, you know, hand out these sheets of paper to each and everyone this morning. Now, I forgot to bring some pens, so, but don't worry about it, because I was going to get you to fill it in, but you can probably fill it in later if you've got time. Now, there are essentially six biblical components or truths that that shows how a Christian should continue to walk in life that is in Jesus Christ, to be built up and to be rooted deeply in Jesus Christ. Now, you can see in the navigator's wheel I've got there for you, we have in the center, can everybody see the center? Which is really the hub. Now, the hub, the wheel is actually powered from the center. You know, like us when we're driving, that the whole driving force, whether you want to turn left or turn right, is powered from that center. When you turn left, it will go left. When you turn right, it will go right. In the same way, when you look at this navigator's wheel, that the hub, which is Christ, should be the center of our life. Jesus Christ should be that driving force in our life. And so in other words, when we receive Christ as Lord, what we are saying is that we are affirming the lordship of Jesus Christ over our own life. In John 15 verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So apart from Christ, if Christ is not the center of our life, whatever you may be doing as a Christian, whether it be in church or wherever it may be, you might be just doing it for lip service. So if your life is not powered by Jesus Christ, well, that becomes questionable. And so the most essential part that's most important is that Jesus Christ is the center of our life, that he is the driving force in our life. If you look on the outer rim, I tried to get that point but didn't point out, but if you look on the outer rim, it says the obedient Christian in action. Now that rim there is proof that of our love for God as we demonstrate our total obedience to God. In 1 John chapter 2 verses 4 and 5 it says, "The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him." And so therefore, obedience mark a true believer. If you look on the vertical dimension, you have the Word of God, the Bible. Now, the Word of God is an important component in the Christian life. It is through the Bible that God speaks to us. Through his Word, he helps us to know and to understand who he is. Through the Bible, we understand the principles for life, how we ought to live, how we ought to conduct ourselves as one in Jesus Christ. Through the Bible, we understand how ministry or how church is to be conducted, how to obey him and how to draw closer to him through the Word of God. You know, in the same way that We all need physical food to nourish our physical bodies. So in the same way is our spiritual life. We need the Word of God to nourish our spiritual life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. And so for we need to be in the Word of God. Along the whole, top of the vertical dimension, we have prayer. Now prayer is also an important component in a Christian life, because we need to realize that prayer unleashes God's power. Prayer is a natural response to God as He speaks to us through His Word. And at times prayer, it is through prayer that unleashes God's power in our own struggles in life, in our own personal battles with sin. Prayer also unleashes God's power in those who we pray for. Ephesians 6:18 says that with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So we need to have prayer. We need to develop prayer as a habitual thing in our daily life. Without prayer, we're going to lose connection. We're gonna fall away from what it means to be a Christian. We're going to drift slowly and slowly. So we need to make prayer as a vital component in our Christian walk. In the horizontal dimension, we have fellowship, and there are two essential components within fellowship: fellowship with God and fellowship with other Christians. We need to be in a daily fellowship with God, and it is through prayer, it is through reading God's Word, it is through being obedient to God that we are in fellowship with God. 1 John 1:3 says that we proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we also need to have fellowship with other Christians, because the Bible calls us to be in fellowship with other Christians. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards good love and good deeds, not giving up to get meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so for we're being called to fellowship. God has designed fellowship for a particular reason, to help build each other up. You know, coming to church, you know, it's not completely dependent on everything that Pastor Glenn does, but the church is going to be dependent on each and every person according to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And remember the analogy that the Apostle Paul says, uses, you know, that the church is like a physical body. You know, the eye can't say no to the hand or to the head or to whatever it is. In the same way, we need to be built up with each other's gifts. And so therefore, with fellowship, that's what God has intended for each and every one of us. Now, on the last but not least, we have on the horizontal, the witnessing dimension here. And the witnessing part is, it should be a natural flow of our Christian life. You know, when we receive Christ as Lord and we receive that promise of knowing that we're going to have eternal life, it should be a natural desire for us to share that with other people. You know, and God has given us the, you know, as believers, that privilege and that responsibility to share with other people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16 says it is the power of God unto salvation and through the gospel. Matthew 4:19, Jesus calls us to be fishers of men. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said that we are to witness with our life. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we are to proclaim Christ, meaning that whenever an opportunity opens, you know, that we need to be ready to give an answer to the hope that we have. Amen? Amen. And so these are essential components that really make up a vital Christian life. You cannot have one without the other. They're all incorporated with each other, and that's what we need to practice and put into our life if we want to continue to walk in Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, if you think about it, if God wanted us to have perfect knowledge of His Word, He could have simply just taken us to heaven where knowledge about God would be revealed, where it would be, I believe, to an extent, 100%. You know, that God would fully reveal Himself to us when we get to heaven. I mean, if God wanted us to have perfect fellowship, with Him and with the saints, He could have just simply taken us to heaven. You know, where fellowship with God is 100%. You know, probably there's probably no offense going on in heaven, unlike here, the fellowship here. If one person offends you, you're probably out of the church. You know, but you know, if God wanted us to have fellowship with Him, He could have just taken it to heaven. You know, if God wanted us to obey Him 100%, He could have just taken us to heaven, you know, where we would obey God 100%, you know, out of our love as well as out of our fear for the Lord. You know, but He's left us here for a reason, and He's left us here for the witnessing of the gospel. And that's the reason why we're all here. You know, when we are saved, we are to take the gospel to the world, to those that are around us and to those who are in our workplace. We've been called, we've been commissioned to go out and preach the gospel, and that's what He's left us here for. You know, to take the gospel to the unbelieving world. But, you know, there is a choice. You can either do it God's way as you live your life, or you can do it your own way, trying to find resources, trying to find techniques or whatever to live your Christian life. You can either do it God's way or you can do it your own way. But remember what Jesus says. Jesus says that everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell and great was its fall. So I trust that, you know, that by giving you these simple biblical truths on what it means to live a Christian life, what it means to be rooted deep in Jesus Christ, I hope that these components, these truths here, would shed on some light as to how we can successfully live our life as a Christian for 2014, and to be really, to be disciplined, to develop and grow in our love for one another and our passion and our zeal for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because, you know, we want to see these pews filled up, but at the same time, we want to see people discipled to be a real committed follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would just give us a heart of obedience, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you would remove this stone in our hearts, Lord God, when we want to live for ourselves. But Father, help us to understand your word. Help us to truly believe in your word, and that you've called us, Lord, to live in such a way that would be the shining light, Lord God, within this community, within our families, and even within our work colleagues, Lord God. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be obedient to you. Help us to grow in our love for you and a love for all the saints, Lord God, that are here this morning. And Father, we just also just pray for those who couldn't make it this morning, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that whatever reason that they may have, we ask that your blessings will be upon them, Lord God, and that you would continue to protect them and to keep them away from the evil one, Lord God. And so, Lord, as we walk away this morning, Lord God, help us to have a renewed heart. Help us to have a renewed mind and a new desire, Lord God, for 2014. May everything that we do, Lord God, will be for your glory, Lord God, out of our love and our zeal for you, Lord God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.